Thank you, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. Well, since 1995, when the Tories took power, one of the first things they did was cut the minimum wage. They never have raised it in 8 years. Now, you tell me who can survive without a raise in 8 years when everything else has gone up. How do children survive? How do we survive, pay the rent, feed our kids at the same time? Ontario does need a raise. We can't wait until another election is called. This government has got to get off its butt. Take this issue and make sure that people get what they deserve. You know what I think this government forgets is that, those people that are getting the minimum wage can't go out and buy the things that they need, nor can they buy other things that make our towns and our cities prosper. To give you an example, women, when they are working, making money, they spend the money in the community. When the money is spent in the community, then everyone benefits. So brothers and sisters, it's time to say we need a raise. It's time for a raise from minimum wage to $10. I don't know how anyone can live on $6.85, and yet this government and this country, which proposes to be one of the richest countries in the world, has the audacity to say that the minimum wage will be $6.85. It's ridiculous. It's time to say to this government, put up or shut up or get out. And I say to everyone, when you get to the election polls, remember those people that have been being paid $6.85. Remember those people on social assistance. Remember the story of Kimberly Rogers. Remember how she was treated like a criminal and made commit suicide. We have to remember those things. We must not forget. So let's all get behind this and support it. Ontario needs a raise. They need a raise now, not tomorrow, but now. Thank you very much.
Okay, now I'm talking to Sarah Blackstock, who I think is the coordinator of this campaign on a provincial basis, but maybe she can correct me.
The Ontario Coalition for Social Justice is the organization I work for, and we've mostly done this stuff outside of Toronto.
So how are you launching your campaign today?
Well, in 25 communities across the province today, activists are holding rallies, doing banner drops, holding press conferences, taking over local malls to demand a raise to both the minimum wage and social assistance rates. They're making it really clear that they think no one in this province should live in poverty.
How did this develop? How did this come about? How have you brought your different organizations and stakeholders together?
Well, I think poverty has really been at the bottom of the political priority list for way too long. And so a number of groups who work on income security got together and said, look, the election's coming up. There's not a lot of opportunity to get poverty on the agenda, but it has to be there. For way too long, poverty has not got the attention it needs. And the reality is, as a result of that, that more than about 2 million people in the province live below the poverty line. And the Tory response has been to freeze the minimum wage, slash social assistance rates. And the other political parties, frankly, haven't stepped up to the plate either, none of them. We want to make it clear that we expect our politicians to take these issues seriously. So the groups that came together said, there are two issues that could really make a huge difference in the lives of low-income people across the province, and that would be to increase the minimum wage and increase social assistance rates. And that includes both Ontario Works and the Ontario Disability Support Plan benefits.
And is this primarily being organized around the upcoming provincial election?
The upcoming election is an opportunity for us to make it clear to politicians that we expect them to do their damn jobs and take care of everyone in the province, not just, you know, the likes of Mario Cortellucci, right? But no matter who is elected to Queen's Park, we're going to have a lot of work to do to make sure that they take these demands seriously and that they act on them.
And the demands of your campaign again?
The demands of the campaign are to increase the minimum wage to $10 an hour. That gets a person just to the poverty line. And we're also saying we want social assistance rates raised to reflect the actual cost of living. And we want both social assistance and the minimum wage indexed.
All right, I'm talking now to Stefan from OCAP, Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. And I wanted to follow up on something he was talking about in a speech, which is the connection between wages and rates of social assistance and other types of government assistance. Could you expand on that a little bit? What is the connection between, say, the rate of welfare and the minimum wage?
Well, I think originally when these things came about, it came into being, what we would call a social wage of one kind or other, everybody understood that unemployed people, even though they're unemployed, or poor people, even though they're poor, are still part of the workforce, are still part of the labor market. And they still affect it, and they're still affected by it. Only in recent history, only since the 1980s, when the sort of beginning of globalization happened, these massive corporate restructuring, was it necessary to have a new ideology that basically blamed the poor people for their own problems. And also this new ideology, this new tactic that's being used by governments, specifically right-wing governments, of scapegoating the poor in order to regulate and control the working population of one kind or another. And the example that I used was a very mundane and simple example, was a minimum wage worker who has to step over homeless people on his way into the job. He works minimum wage and works in shitty conditions. The thought of becoming homeless, or the thought of being forced into be a welfare recipient and suffer all of what they hear about welfare recipients suffer, is enough of a deterrent from that person organizing or agitating for a union or for higher wages. And so I was simply making the point that you can't separate the two. They're both social wages. They're both the floor to all other wages. Plus also, the conditions under which welfare recipients exist is there so that all other working people are disciplined and taught a good lesson. So that was basically the point. It's a little bit long-winded, but it's I think most people understand it's a pretty simple concept. The poorer we are, the more we need people poorer than us, basically.
And just to emphasize again, but since 1995, with the election of the Tories and the cut to welfare, there's been no increase in rates for social assistance, and also no increase to the minimum wage.
Yeah, it was cut by 21.5% in 1995. So was disability, and that was the perfect way in which you can have this ideal situation where you have low unemployment and low wages at the same time, which is perfect. Like, everybody loves that. Everybody, all the employers, all the landlords, all the bosses, because then you don't have this army of unemployed people who are going around rioting and making a mess of things because they're pissed off they don't have jobs. Instead, you have people taking tons of overtime and taking on second jobs because their wages are so low and never spending time with their families, not doing all the things, not fulfilling their dreams. They're basically working for shitty wages all the time. So that's the other benefit for cutting social assistance and not raising welfare, and that's what Mike Harris and Ernie's are thinking right now.
So what kind of involvement do you think OCAP is going to have in this campaign to raise the minimum wage and raise rates of social assistance?
Well, ever since, like, since I guess 2001, OCAP sort of in helping to form the Ontario Common Front put out this idea that the minimum wage must be raised to $10 an hour and that the welfare cut must be reversed. So for like already a couple of years now, we've been sort of talking about this pretty vehemently. And once again, I think this summer, there's a lot of agitating organizing going on in the rural parts of Ontario. Those organizations that were formed at the Common Front are actually functioning on the ground and doing some really good work. And they put a call into us saying, let's take on the Eve's election campaign. And so that's what we're going to do. And every time we go to a picnic, a barbecue, a fundraising event, or even the corporate headquarters of some of the most largest financial contributors, we're going to be saying minimum wage should be raised to $10 an hour and welfare should be bumped up so that at least covers the basic average shelter costs in Toronto.
Well, my name is Jean Ann Ludwell, and I work with Kairos, which is a national ecumenical coalition of church and other religious organizations across Canada who are very concerned about and active on social issues. And most of us have been active for 25, 30 years in our various constituencies across the country.
Are you involved with this campaign to raise the minimum wage?
Yes, absolutely. Kairos and a number of other organizations, quite a few of them actually, took part in a meeting about 2 months ago now, where we made the decision to come together as a broad-based coalition to support this particular campaign and to give the campaign a shape which would be doable for all of us.
And how do you think you're going to bring that message to your constituencies? What are some of the ways that Kairos is active in the communities that you come out of?
Right. Well, Kairos in particular has access to all the various church and religious organization memberships. We have, for example, a website. We also have a regular bi-weekly newsletter that goes out electronically to all our key people who then pass it on to their various local groups. We also have a number of regular meetings and constituency activities in which we're inserting this particular campaign. And in addition to that, of course, most of us are very personally, as I am, committed to this particular campaign because it's such an obvious need in our society. Until you attend to your basic needs, you then can't go on and attend to other needs. If you can't feed your kid, you can't be worried about whether you're going to go to school and upgrade your qualifications. If you don't have a house to live in with some kind of security, real security, as opposed to what they talk about in terms of military security, real security meaning having a home, not just four walls and a roof that you've constructed out of cardboard under the expressway somewhere. You have to have a home, you have to have good nourishing food, you have to have a network of people around you, family, community. Until these things are in place, then you can start working on things like health and education and all of these various other higher order issues. So we feel that people having access to a decent living wage for the hard work that they do is the groundwork for anything else that we might want to do. And I guess the other thing we're very aware of in the work that we've been doing in recent years is that even an issue like health is really explicitly and directly related to poverty. Because one of the key determinants of whether or not you can maintain good health is whether or not you're out of the cold, whether or not you have nourishing meals, whether or not you have companionship and so on. This has now been documented in study after study that these are, in fact, the key determinants of health. Not whether you have an MRI machine next door to you on 5 minutes' notice. I mean, that's important when you get to a certain level of need, but in terms of preventative health and general health, that's a key determinant. And if you think about health as one of the primary concerns of Canadians today, then if you root underneath it, we believe in going upstream to the source of things, find out why the fish are dying. We planned this as a way to launch our campaign in the center of Toronto, in a place that is very busy, where we could pass out as many flyers as possible, get some media attention, and also situate ourselves in the heart of work. I mean, there's all kinds of people in all kinds of buildings, and in that very Eaton Center below us, in all these shops and stores, who are working for the minimum wage, who are part-time, who are involved in precarious work, who can be laid off at any point. So there's a lot of reasons for being here. We want to speak with the people who are most affected by this issue and involve them in the issue. I mean, this is really constituency building, and that's what this is about today.